With verse number 1. Now on the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they and certain other women with them came to the tomb, bringing the spices which they had prepared. But they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. Then they went in and did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. And it happened, as they were greatly perplexed about this, that behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. Verse 5, then as they were afraid and bowed their faces to the earth, they said to them, why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spoke to you when he was still in Galilee, saying, the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again.
Hallelujah.
And they remembered his words. Then they returned from the tomb and told all these things to the leaven and to all the rest. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary, the mother of James, and the other women with them who told these things to the apostles. And their words seemed to them like idle tales, and they did not believe them. But Peter arose and ran to the tomb, and stooping down, he saw the linen cloths lying by themselves, and he departed, marveling to himself at what had happened. Amen. Amen. After I decided to interview Joe and Vivian, I looked up the top 10 reasons to celebrate Easter. And I want to give them to you, starting with 10, and we'll go down to number 1. Number 10, the top 10 reason to celebrate Easter, you absolutely love the movie, The Ten Commandments. Number 9, you look really, really good in yellow. Number 8, you just went on a low cholesterol diet and you didn't want to waste all those eggs in the fridge. Okay. Number 7, you figure any holiday that starts with Good Friday can't be all bad. Amen. You love, number 6, you love to bite the heads off chocolate bunnies. I can see that fit some of you in there. Yeah. Number 5, it's a good time to check out your neighborhood church and not be noticed. Number 4, and I'm sure there's a couple in this body of believers here that this fits. You have this bunny suit you enjoy wearing, but are just too insecure to wear it without a reason. Number 3, even though you don't know what it is, you really like the sound of going to a passion play. Number 2, you figured since Jesus went to all that trouble to make it to the first Easter, you'd give it a shot. And number 1, and we fall right into this, folks, and I'm so happy. As a Christian, you celebrate the resurrection on every other day, so why not Easter too? Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Now I want you to go to the book of Revelation, and I want you to go to chapter 5 of the book of Revelation. And I'm going to begin by reading verses 1 through 4. And we'll read 5 and 6 in just a minute. After these things, this is the Apostle John talking. After these things, I looked, and behold, a door standing open in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was like a trumpet speaking with me, saying, come up here, and I will show you the things which must take place after this. Many, many theologians believe that this is the rapture of the church, where it says, come up here. Number two, immediately I was in the Spirit. And behold, a throne set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. I am reading the wrong spot. But somebody needed to know about the rapture, so that's good. Okay. Chapter 5 and verse 1. Amen. Boy, if we were a denomination, I'd probably get fired for that. And I saw in the right hand of him who sat on the throne a scroll written inside and on the back, sealed with seven seals. Then I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, who is worthy to open the scrolls and loose its seals? And no one in heaven or on earth or under the earth was able to open the scroll or to look at it. Verse 4, so I wept much because no one was found worthy to open and read the scroll or to look at it. Okay, we're going to stop right there for a minute and we'll read 5 and 6 in just a few minutes. In these particular verses in Revelation, John reveals what he saw as a vision of the end time unfolded before his eyes. John gave us a very personal account of this event as he uses the phrase, I saw, 36 times in 34 verses. And as we read it, we can certainly get a glimpse into what is to come. Now, at the point of our text, John is overcome by anxiety and desperation because he's uncertain how these things will end. In John's limited earthly perspective, it would seem that the world's destiny is hanging in the balance. No one is found worthy enough to open the seals of this judgment scroll, which would vindicate the redeemed of all ages. There is not one in heaven, which is the dominion of God, in earth, which is the dominion of man, or under the earth, which is the dominion of Satan, found capable of completing this task. The veteran of intense personal persecution and countless battles with religious leaders, Roman emperors, and Satan himself is now reduced to tears as he grapples with what awaits mankind. In this passage, John declares, I wept much, which literally means to sob and wail aloud much. Now let's read verse 5 and 6. But one of the elders said to me, do not weep. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has prevailed to open the scroll and to loose its seven seals. Verse 6, and I looked, and behold, in the midst of the throne, and at the four living creatures, and in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb, as though it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God, sent out into all the earth. Obviously, the things of God are often far different from the way they appear to us, because we are so limited by our earthly perspective. Yes. As John continues in his agony, one of the worshiping elders steps over to him and says, do not weep. Behold the Lion. Looking through his tears, John responds, I see a lamb. It's as if John is saying, I don't see a lion. I see a lamb. Now listen, the problem isn't John's eyesight, it is his perspective. What he sees is correct, but what he understands is incorrect. The one who was wailing, John, had his eyes on the problem, while the one who was worshiping, the elder, had his eyes on the solution. Have you ever felt hopeless, overwhelmed, trapped, or desperate like John? Listen, folks, when we find ourselves in such a state, it is often because we haven't seen the end of the story. Now, on this beautiful Sunday morning, as we recall the Easter story, we have noticed the disappointing behavior of Jesus' closest followers, his disciples. But before we chide the disciples for their unbelief, or berate them for their lack of vision, or scold them for not hanging around to see the miracle that of that first Easter morning, remember that none of us experienced the emotional duress that these men did at the loss of their master. We weren't there on that Friday when Jesus died. The disciples weren't aware of the resurrection. There had never been an Easter sunrise service, nor had there been an inspiring drama or a stirring concert or a beautiful cantata to create just the right effect for the Easter celebration. No Easter Sunday for them, only a Friday that was far, far from good. The disciples had been with Jesus at the Last Supper, as he spoke mysteriously of the one who would betray him, and it struck fear into their hearts as they asked, "Is it I?" Then we find them with Jesus in the garden as he prayed in agony for so long that they finally fell asleep from exhaustion. And suddenly a frightful interruption as they recognized Judas coming to betray him. What horror the disciples must have felt as they realized exactly what Jesus' earlier words had really meant. They tried to defend their Lord, but who could stand up against a Roman legion? And then hope broke through. The despair when Jesus announced, "I can pray to my Father and he will provide me with more than 12 legions of angels." Wow. But oh no, instant despair again when Jesus stated, "But how then shall the scriptures be fulfilled that it must happen thus?" During the uncertainty of those terrifying hours, the disciples followed Jesus at a distance, lurking in the shadows and outside the gates as he was put through the mockery of 6 trials between the night of his arrest and the next morning. They heard, along with everyone else, the fabricated evidence and outright lies against him, and their hearts sank at the resounding verdict that echoed after each trial: guilty, guilty, guilty. In the 6 trials, he was taken before Annas, the father of the high priest, in John 18, before Caiaphas, the high priest, in Matthew 26, before the Sanhedrin in Matthew 26, before Pilate in Matthew 27, before Herod in Luke 23, and before Pilate again in Luke 23. The disciples had seen Jesus scourged until he had no strength left to stand, his skin literally ripped off in huge gaping patches. And they witnessed the makeshift crown of thorns pressed into his scalp until his face was dripping with blood. Jesus was slapped, pummeled, and punched until his countenance was permanently marred, and he seems only a grotesque caricature of a man. The disciples had hoped beyond hope that when Jesus was taken before the crowds, that this nightmare would be finally over. Surely the thousands he had taught, the hundreds he had healed, and the countless he had fed would stand up for him, convincing the Roman government that he was no threat to them and their empire. But with ever increasing dismay, the disciples watched the mob under the evil influence of the Sanhedrin and Satan himself shout for the release of a convicted murderer and then scream, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" until Pilate was pressured into action. One of the heartbroken disciples had watched, engulfed by the angry mob, scared for his very life, as Jesus was nailed to the cross and hoisted in the air, hanging naked and humiliated. He saw him writhing with agony and watched his labored breathing, heard his groans of pains, all the while fully aware that crucifixion was really death by suffocation. How horrific. He was his Lord, his master. How could it come to this? Finally, it was over as Jesus cried out, "It is finished." Unfortunately, what the disciple really heard was, "I am finished." When a Roman soldier pierced Jesus' rib cage with a spear, it was the final act, the final injury, the one that declared for certain Jesus was dead. His unrecognizable body was unfastened from the cross and laid down upon the cold ground to be wrapped for burial. Let me ask you again, have you ever felt hopeless, overwhelmed, trapped, or desperate? It's simply because you're unaware of the end of the story. Heaven's script of the ages is called the mystery of God in Revelation 10. Satan never could understand it. And when he finally did, he was powerless to change it. Please understand this. The devil wants to convince you that God has left you just as much in the dark as he is. Now, let's go back and consider that worshiping elder in our initial text. Remember him? God has given us a key called worship that changes our perspective on heavenly things. Satan cannot even begin to understand the concept of this worship because he forfeited his keys a long time ago. Through his rebellion, Satan lost all access to the purposes of God. And he has been frantically trying to bluff his way to victory ever since. In 1 Corinthians 2, verse 7 through 10 says this, "But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages for our glory, which none of the rulers of this age knew. For had they known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, I had not seen nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. But God has revealed them to us through his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God." Worship is the key that lifts you up far enough to see from God's perspective. Consequently, the higher you rise in worship, the smaller the devil and his kingdom look. When you see things through from heaven's perspective, the one opening the scroll is the one who controls the ages. He is not just a slain lamb, but a mighty lion. Once John realized this, he ceased his weeping. Amen? Now listen, Jesus was not just the lamb slain in Revelation 5 or the lamb slain at Calvary. He was the lamb slain from the foundation of the world. And please understand, Jesus' temporary defeat had always been part of God's plan for the ultimate victory. Amen? And Satan took the bait. After Calvary, Satan and his demons had just 3 short days to celebrate their killing of the latest prophet before God himself stepped into hell. God, what are you doing here? Satan asked. You said that since the fall of man, death, hell, and the grave would be my domain. Who gave you the authority to walk right in? God answered, don't you know? You gave me the authority when you crucified me at Calvary. What do you mean? Satan screamed. That was just another prophet named Jesus. No, God announced, that wasn't just another prophet. It was me. And I have now defeated death, hell, and the grave. I tell you, folks, that was an aha moment for Satan. Amen? He finally understood the scriptures that had gnawed on him for centuries. Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 4 says, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. James chapter 2, verse 19, you believe that there is one God? You do well. Even the demons believe and tremble. All Satan did the day he killed the lamb was to unveil the lion. Glory. Amen? And aren't you thrilled to be a Christian? Aren't you overjoyed that the good news in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 10 tells us that what Satan didn't know has been revealed to us by God's Spirit? Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, in Revelation 1, verse 17 and 18, it says this, and when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. But he laid his right hand on me, saying to me, do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. I am he who lives and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And I have the keys of Hades and of death. Brothers and sisters, if Satan doesn't even have the keys to his own kingdom, how can he lock me up? It appears. Amen. Give the Lord a hand. It appears that Satan can't even lock up his own house. Jesus, the lover of my soul, has absolute power over my physical death and spiritual death. And no one else. No one else. Remember when he said to the thief on the cross, assuredly, I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise. That's in Luke 23. Jesus was referring to the abode of the dead. It had been under the control of Satan since the Garden of Eden. But now, Jesus, having gone through death, entering the grave, and then walked out, holding the keys to both. Hallelujah. Psalm 68:18 talks about Jehovah. You have ascended on high. You have led captivity captive. You have received gifts among men, even from the rebellious, that the Lord God might dwell there. Ephesians 4:8 talks about Jesus. Therefore, he said, when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts to men. Ezekiel 37:13, then you shall know that I am the Lord when I have opened your graves, O my people, and brought you up from the graves. Jesus emptied the abode of the dead. He emptied paradise.
Glory, hallelujah.
So if Satan is powerless in the realm of our death, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 15, the last enemy will be destroyed, to be destroyed is death, then he is powerless in the realm of our life. His only weapon, and get this, folks, is deception. His only weapon is deception. That is the good news of Easter. Jesus has defeated every enemy in your life. Every enemy in your life. Because Jesus obtained the victory, you have the victory. Now, we know the end of the story. And the end of the story is life and life eternal. We serve a risen Savior. He was once a slain lamb, but now we know him as the Lion of Judah. Yes, Lord. He rules and reigns as the conquering king. Amen. Amen? Amen. So, folks, stop wailing and start worshiping. Stop wailing and start worshiping. Cease the sighing and start the singing. Amen. Dance, clap, shout. The more you get in heaven's perspective, the more you will realize that God has a beautiful end to your story. Amen. Hallelujah. Somebody shout hallelujah. Amen. Come on. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. When Karen and I were talking about worshiping, I said to her, I want a song at the beginning of your worship and at the end of my message. Same song. Are you ready? I want you to stand up. Thank you, Lord. Worship him. Problems are not greater than your God. Get out of that microphone, demon. Hallelujah. Here. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Hallelujah.
Hello.
Like you believe it. Even if you don't, once you sing it a few times, you'll start.
I serve a risen Savior. He's in the world today. I know that he is living, whatever man may say. I see his hand of mercy, woohoo!
Folks, please, if you've never said yes to Jesus, please say yes to Him today.
Yes, 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 yes.
All you have to do is invite Him into your heart. Ask Him to forgive you and become a new creation in Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Thank you,
Lord. Hallelujah. Your life will never be the same.
Amen.
I remember when Bonnie and me said that, our life has never been the same. Wow. Wow.
Thank you, Lord.
What does Easter mean to me? Everything.
Everything. Everything.
Everything. I wouldn't walk across the street without the Holy Spirit.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you.
Thank you. Ponder that for a minute. We pray every night for the protection. Lord, put those angels around us. Protect us. There's so much evil in our world. Hallelujah. Ladies, please pick up a flower. Guys, pick up a couple donuts.
A box or two.
Yeah.
Amen. Let me pray. Father, thank you for today. Lord, thank you that we're going to lunch before the Baptist today, Lord. Lord, thank you that you bless us so much. Lord, let Easter live forever in us. Let us recognize that open tomb and the worst weapon that Satan has, the most powerful weapon that Satan possessed. He no longer possesses because our Savior took it away from him. And Lord, let us recognize his deception and keep him under our feet.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you all. I love you. God bless you. Happy Easter. Hallelujah.